Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. In a significant move to curb cheating in exams, the Delhi High Court has upheld the center's temporary restriction on Telegram under Section 69 of the IT Act, 2000, till 22 June 2026, ahead of 21 June NETUG re-exam. This decision is crucial as it sets a precedent for the use of Section 69, which empowers the government to block online content that threatens the sovereignty, security, or public order of the country. The court held that the blocking power under Section 69 can extend to an entire intermediary platform and called the measure least restrictive, citing the proportionality test from the Anuradha Bhasin v. Union of India case in 2020. What makes this significant is that Telegram was also told to disable message editing till 30th June, indicating the government's efforts to prevent any potential cheating during the exam. It's worth noting that Telegram-linked NCRP complaints rose from 75,688 in 2023 to about 2.75 lakh in 2025, highlighting the need for such measures. Remember this number. 69A is the section of the IT Act that allows for such blocking, and it's essential to understand the distinction between Section 69A and Section 79, which deals with intermediary safe harbor. The blocking rules 2009 are also relevant in this context, as they provide the framework for implementing such restrictions. Now, let's turn to the NETUG 2026 re-exam. The re-exam is scheduled for 21 June, after the original 3 May exam was cancelled on 12 May over paper leak allegations, which are now under a CBI probe. Education Minister Dharmendra Pradhan said the Indian Air Force would transport question papers to ensure the exam's integrity. The National Testing Agency, established in 2017 as an autonomous testing body under the Ministry of Education, conducts NETUG, GMAIN, QET, and UGCNET. This is a critical aspect of exam governance, and it's essential to note that the Public Examinations Prevention of Unfair Means Act, 2024, is also relevant in this context, as it aims to prevent unfair means in public examinations. Moving on to another significant development, the UAE Cabinet, chaired by Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, barred children under 15 from creating or operating personal social media accounts, making it the first Arab nation to do so. A 12-month transition applies, and the rule covers residents and tourists. Ages 15 to 16 will get supervised access, and AI and biometric age verification is mandatory, with self-declaration being rejected. This move mirrors Australia's under-16 ban and has implications for social media governance. In India, the DPDP Act, 2023, requires verifiable parental consent for under-18s following a consent model rather than a ban. It's worth noting that the DPDP Act defines a child as under-18 and bars tracking and targeted ads at children. Now, let's turn to the insurance sector. On 18 June 2026, the Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India, IRDAI, set up a 7-member working group on AI in insurance. The group is chaired by Sandeep K. Shukla, Director of IIT Hyderabad, with members from Certain, SBI Life, Star Health, ICICI Lombard, and a former RBIT executive. IRDAI is a statutory body under the IRDA Act, 1999, and is headquartered in Hyderabad. Certain, on the other hand, is the National Nodal Cyber Incident Agency under MATWAI. This development highlights the growing importance of AI in the insurance sector and the need for regulatory oversight. With that background in place, let's look at the implications of Japanese encephalitis in Assam. As of 17 June 2026, Assam reported 35 confirmed Japanese encephalitis cases and 7 deaths, with the National Health Mission clarifying that J is distinct from the broader acute encephalitis syndrome, AES. AES figures stood at 470 cases and 32 deaths, and the AESJ season runs from June to August. J is a mosquito-borne disease, with pigs and waterbirds as amplifying hosts, and about 62% of India's J deaths since 2018 have been in Assam. The J vaccine is provided under the Universal Immunization Program, and it's essential to understand the importance of vector-borne disease control. Now, let's turn to the southwest monsoon, which has stalled, with a 38% all-India rainfall deficit for June 1 to 17. The IMD attributes the hiatus to five factors: an unfavorable MJO phase, a feeble Somali fine-later jet, weak convection, poor wind convergence, and suppressed dynamics. Further advance into Telangana, Odisha, Jharkhand, and Bihar is expected around 23rd June. This development has implications for the Kharif sowing season and highlights the importance of understanding monsoon mechanics and MJO modulation. The normal Kerala onset is 1st June, plus or minus 4 days, and the MJO is a critical factor in determining the monsoon's progress. Moving on to another significant development, the government ratified the EPF interest rate of 8.25% for FY26, the third consecutive year at this rate, to be credited to over 7 crore members this month. EPFO operates under the Ministry of Labour and Employment, and the rate is decided by the Central Board of Trustees, CBT, the apex tripartite body chaired by the Labour Minister. This decision has implications for social security architecture and tripartite governance. The CBT is the apex decision-making body of the EPFO, and it's essential to understand its role in determining the EPF interest rate. Now, let's turn to the RBI. The center-appointed RBI Deputy Governor Swaminathan Janakiraman for 2 years with effect from 26 June 2026. The RBI has one governor and up to 4 deputy governors, and this development highlights the importance of central banking governance. The RBI is led by a governor plus up to 4 deputy governors, and it's essential to understand the leadership structure of the RBI. This knowledge is critical for your UPSC preparation, especially when it comes to questions related to banking and finance. Moving on to another significant development, India launched its first Producer Price Index, PPI, on 15 June 2026, with the WPI to be phased out within about 5 years. The PPI uses a 2020-23 base, covers goods plus 7 services, applies the IMF-backed double deflator, and aligns with OECD standards. Output PPI inflation was 9.4% in May 2026, and the WPI excluded services. This development has implications for national accounts accuracy and highlights the importance of understanding the difference between PPI, WPI, and CPI. The PPI base year is 2020-23, and it's released by the Office of the Economic Advisor, BIT. The PPI covers 7 services, including banking and telecom, and it's essential to understand the significance of this development for your UPSC preparation. Now, let's turn to the conservation of tigers. India began its 6th All India Tiger Estimation, AITE, cycle in January 2026, with the report due in 2027. The estimation builds on the 2022 count of 3,682 tigers, which is about 70% of global wild tigers. The National Tiger Conservation Authority, NTCA, is a statutory body under the Wildlife Protection Act, 1972, and Project Tiger was launched in 1973. The tiger is listed as Schedule I and IUCN Endangered, and it's essential to understand the importance of conservation governance and the role of the NTCA in protecting tigers. The AITE is the world's largest wildlife survey, held every 4 years, and it's critical for your UPSC preparation, especially when it comes to questions related to conservation and wildlife. Moving on to another significant development, the NFHS 6, 2023-24, was released on 30 May 2026, showing under 5 stunting down to 29.3% but a lag in infant feeding practices. Severe wasting is 5.2%, institutional births are 90%, and full immunization is 87%, yet only about 50% of newborns are breastfed within the first hour, and only 15% of 6 to 23-month-olds get an adequate diet. The nodal agency for NFHS 6 is IIPS Mumbai, and it's essential to understand the significance of this development for your UPSC preparation, especially when it comes to questions related to health and nutrition. The Poshan Abhiyan, launched in 2018, aims to improve nutrition outcomes, and it's critical to understand the importance of the first 1,000 days in determining a child's health and well-being. Now, let's turn to the Amarnath Yatra 2026, which will run for 57 days from 3rd July to 28th August, ending on Raksha Bandhan. The pilgrimage uses two routes, Baltal, Ganderbal, and Nunwan Pahalgam, Anantnag. The Sri Amarnath Shrine Board, SASB, established in 2000, manages the Yatra, and RFID cards are mandatory, with security heightened after the April 2025 Pahalgam attack. This development highlights the importance of pilgrimage and security management in J&K, and it's essential to understand the role of the SASB in managing the Amarnath Yatra. The SASB was established in 2000, and it's critical to understand its significance for your UPSC preparation, especially when it comes to questions related to governance and administration. Moving on to another significant development, the Ministry of Defence reviewed India's defence production and exports from 2014 to 2026, highlighting indigenous defence production of 1.78 lakh rupees crore, FY26, and exports of 38,424 crore rupees. Exports rose more than 5,500% over 12 years, reaching 80 plus countries via 145 firms, with the target being 50,000 crore rupees by 2029, and the private sector accounting for 24% of production. This development highlights the importance of Atmanirbharta in defense and procurement reform, and it's essential to understand the significance of the DAP 2020, which made by Indian IDDM the most preferred procurement category. The IDEX initiative, with 551 contracts by March 2026, and the defense industrial corridors in UP and Tamil Nadu, are also critical aspects of India's defense production and export strategy. Now, let's turn to the direct tax collections, which rose about 14.64% to 5.21 lakh rupees crore till 17th June 2026. Net corporate tax was up 22%, and securities transaction tax, STT, was up 45%. The Central Board of Direct Taxes, CBDT, operates under the Department of Revenue, Ministry of Finance, and is statutory under the Central Board of Revenue Act, 1963. This development highlights the importance of direct tax buoyancy and fiscal administration, and it's essential to understand the role of the CBDT in managing direct taxes. The CBDT is statutory under the Central Board of Revenue Act, 1963, and it's critical to understand its significance for your UPSC preparation, especially when it comes to questions related to taxation and fiscal policy. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The CE-20 engine generates a thrust of 200 kilonewtons. The National Testing Agency was established in 2017 and conducts NETUG, GMAIN, QET, and UGCNET. The UAE has ban under 15s from social media, with a 12-month transition period, and AI and biometric age verification is mandatory. The IRDE is a statutory body under the IRDA Act, 1999, and is headquartered in Hyderabad. The Culex mosquito is the vector for Japanese encephalitis, with pigs and waterbirds as amplifying hosts, and the vaccine is provided under the Universal Immunization Program. The southwest monsoon has a 38% all India rainfall deficit for June 1st to 17th, with the normal Kerala onset being 1st June, plus or minus 4 days. The EPF interest rate is 8.25% for FY26, decided by the Central Board of Trustees under the Ministry of Labour and Employment. The RBI has one governor and up to 4 deputy governors, with Swaminathan Janakiraman reappointed as deputy governor for 2 years. The PPI base year is 2020-23, and it covers goods plus 7 services, including banking and telecom. The 6th All India Tiger Estimation Cycle began in January 2026, with the report due in 2027, and the National Tiger Conservation Authority is a statutory body under the Wildlife Protection Act, 1972. The NFHS-6 shows under 5 stunting down to 29.3%, with severe wasting at 5.2%, and institutional births at 90%. The Amarnath Yatra 2026 will run for 57 days from 3 July to 28 August, with the Sri Amarnath Shrine Board managing the pilgrimage. India's defence exports rose more than 5,500% over 12 years, reaching 80-plus countries via 145 firms, with the target being 50,000 crore rupees by 2029. Direct tax collections rose about 14.64% to 5.21 lakh rupees crore, with net corporate tax up 22% and securities transaction tax up 45%. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? It's essential to understand the significance of these developments for your exam, especially when it comes to questions related to governance, economy, environment, and social issues. Remember to focus on the key facts and numbers and practice answering questions related to these topics. In conclusion, these developments highlight the importance of understanding the complex issues that shape our world, from governance and economy to environment and social issues. As you prepare for your UPSC exam, remember to stay updated on current affairs and practice answering questions that test your knowledge and analytical skills. The significance of these developments lies in their impact on India's growth, development, and position in the global arena, and it's essential to understand these connections to excel in your UPSC preparation.